Blog Talk Radio.
Because there are some things that You know, we as Israel have a habit of pointing fingers at other people for our own plight, for the condition that we're in. And one of the things that, you know, ways that I see this in the scriptures and the way the Most High showed me is through slavery, okay? And what our own forefathers did and what the Most High actually said in his law concerning these things. So I wanted to explore this, and this is not to point fingers at anyone, Israel, or to the Gentile nations. It is simply to put in simplistic form why we as a people are in the conditions that we're in today, why the other nations, whether they understand it or not, while they are doing the things that they're doing to us. You know, I was laying in the bed as well, and I was contemplating, you know, my claim with the VA, and I was looking at my military career and the things that I accomplished during my military career while having PTSD, while suffering from a few mental illnesses that were not debilitating, but they had their effect. And I was sitting there laying in the bed saying, okay, through systematic racism and events of war, I was serving in the military and, you know, what I received from it. So from that standpoint, then, you know, I was explaining to my wife, the things that I saw. And then it came down to, you know, us as a people, because systematic racism has always been around. And, you know, I dealt with it in the military, dealt with it on the outside. And, you know, we often wonder, well, why? Why do they treat us this way? You know, we were listening to a program last night on Joe Madison, and they were talking about how, you know, the USDA is still showing discrimination toward black farmers. Still will not help black farmers. Then, at the same show, it talked about how the VA is discriminate, you know, how they practice discrimination even against black veterans compared to other races. And so with this, you know, on my mind when I went to sleep, I woke up with it. And what I have seen is that our people want to point fingers at everyone else but ourselves. And so I wanted to cover this tonight from, you know, the standpoint of Deuteronomy chapter 28 and from the chapter standpoint of Leviticus chapter 25 and, you know, try to stay within that and try to show why we are going through what we're going through as a people and why they have done these things, and they don't even know why they have done it. No, I won't say it that way. I believe that certain sectors of these nations know who we are, and those that are in power know who we are as a people, and they do not want us to be back in the position that the Most High has said that he would put us in if we obey. Okay. And so from the standpoint of the prophecies and what has happened and where we're at today and what we are doing and what the Gentile nations are doing, it's all in the scripture. All we got to do is read it and believe it. And it's very, it makes things very simplistic to me. Very simplistic to me. So just wanted to cover that on this evening. Maybe we might have to finish it up tomorrow morning. Not sure yet. Not sure. I don't have really a whole lot of verses written down. I just want to talk about, you know, the systemic things that I see in our society and why they are in relationship to Bible prophecy and scripture. So with that being said, we want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be. In North America, South America, the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, the communist bloc countries, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. May have the ladies who cover their heads, men, uncover your heads, and we want to go before the Most High. And before we do this, I want to remind everybody that August 17th is the new moon for this month, and this would be the sixth month in the scriptures. Next month will be the seventh month, and then, of course, we will have the Feast of Trumpets on next month. But on August 17th of this month will be the beginning of month service for the sixth Hebrew month. So I want to invite, you know, everyone that can attend to attend. That being said, may have the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads, as we go before the Most High in our statement of faith. And let me have that up right here. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and of, is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe about the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep His commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We can glorify You on today, and we lift You up, Yah Elohim. And we glorify You, Father. We magnify Your name, because You are our God and our Elohim. And another will we not bow down to and serve, Father. For You and to You alone will we bow down and give the knee. All that You say, Father, we will do. So we give You glory and honor and praise on this day that You have commanded that we honor You in. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to You, O Yah Elohim. Glory to You, Father. Hallelujah. Holy hand praise to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your loving kindness and Your tender mercy. We thank You for life and health and strength today. We thank You for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe Your Shabbat, a day of rest that You have ordained that Your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that You would forgive us our sins, as we ask those forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that You lead us not into temptation, but that You deliver us from evil. We ask that You hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep Your statutes, Your laws, and Your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, You have said that Your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to You, and You have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that You have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that You would once again turn Your eyes and Your ears toward Your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to You, and that You have walked contrary to us. And, Father, we are repenting of our sins and turning from our wicked ways, and we won't complain about the punishment that You have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that You might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep Your statutes, Your laws, and Your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that You might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for You are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that You call him Messiah, that they would hear Your voice and that they would come and that they would learn to obey You. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, and we ask that You would smile upon this work and that You would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. And I'm going to personalize this in your hearing. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If we sin against Thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whether we were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul, in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and in the house which Solomon has built for thy name. And hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee. And forgive us, give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people, and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High bless you to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. And it is the Most High Sabbath, as we are commanded, the sounding of the shofar. Thank you.
Oh,
beginning. I was thinking on this, you know, how the USDA and looking at programs, listening to like, as I said, the Black Eagle on Sirius XM and other things, and doing research on why the USDA systematically discriminates against Black people more so than any other race. And, you know, you have to say, where did that come from? Why? Why did they pick us to be that way with? And so, you know, as I'm contemplating this and I'm contemplating, you know, the systematic racism that I experienced in the military, and got into a conversation with my wife on this morning, and, you know, as I said, we have a tendency to point fingers at everyone else for our issue, and mainly, quote-unquote, white people, for our problems, when the Most High has told us why we are in this position. But it also tells us, and I want to cover today, why they treat us the way that they do, okay? And not making an excuse for, the scripture calls it the heathen nations. And we're going to look up this word heathen so that you understand that, you know, the church or the Christian church used this word a lot against like the Indians or the African nations, saying that they were heathen. But in the scripture, this word heathen doesn't mean wild and uncivilized. It doesn't mean that. It just means nation, goy, in the Hebrew, goy. Okay, so when it says the heathen, it is simply talking about any other nation other than Israel, a foreign nation. They took that word and translated it in the scripture as heathen. I'm not going to change the English rendition of this, but I just want you to understand where it says the word heathen. It's not talking about anyone that could be, you know, as the world has this heathen defined as uncivilized, unlearned, wild. That's not what this word means in the scriptures. It's not, they took the Hebrew word for nation, for other nations, foreign nation style, and translated it heathen. Okay? So let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 2. The book of Psalms, chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 1. And we're going to flip-flop between the book of Psalms and Deuteronomy, okay, chapter 28. And then we're going to throw a little bit of Leviticus, chapter 25, in here. So I can try to paint the picture for you that why the scripture is going to ask a question in Psalms chapter 2, verse 1. It says, why do the heathen rage? Why do the foreign nations rage? These foreign nations are nations that are other than Israel, Gentile nations. If you're not Israel, then you would be considered a Gentile. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? So why are the other nations in a rage? And why do their people imagine a vain thing? Something vain in this case meaning something not worth worrying about. Vanity. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord or against Yah and against his anointed. Now, the Most High's anointed is his inheritance. In this case, it was Israel. It's also Messiah. This is a dual meaning word. But Israel is his anointed as a people. Okay. Saying, let us break their bands asunder. So we know that this word anointed here is referring to the nation. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Underline that. Cast away their cords from us. Very important as to why the other nations act the way that they act. Okay? And we have to understand that it is written in the scriptures why they act the way that they act. Now, I will say this. Not all Gentile people know who we are as a people. They don't all know, but the powers to be know. That's why they have set themselves in array against us as a people. There's a reason we're going to cover this, okay? We're going to look into the scriptures and cover it. Because we got to understand, when we know why, then we know what action we have to take. It's not an option. What actions we have to take if we don't want to remain this way. You know, we're, as a people, we're looking for a solution to come from under the way we're being treated by the nation. Okay? And no matter what nation we're in, we're treated the same way. And so, because the nation, Hebrew Israelites, with other people of color, then they might treat the Hamitic nations, the African nations, the sons of Ham, like they treat us, try to lump us into that same group. And then we have our brothers and sisters that are scattered around the world, and especially in America, they will use the term African American or black. And let's use that word, black. Black is so generic when it comes to a people. Anybody that would be brown, dark skin, high yellow, any people that they identify as black, they want to lump us into all into one group. But we're not all the same people. So somebody from Ghana is not the same as somebody from Nigeria. They're both African. They're both from the same continent, but they may not necessarily be the same people. And because they are of color, try to lump it up under that generic term, black. But just because you may be of dark skin or be melanated does not mean that we are all the same people. And so we have to look at our forefathers and the situation that our forefathers were in and came out of, okay, and where we're at today, okay? And the Bible tells about all this. We just have to know where to look. So they want to break their bonds, the anointed people of the Most High, break their bands asunder, break them in two, and cast away their cords from us. Now, this is a mentality. Why would they ever think that they were subject to us as a people, especially in our current condition? Time passed, and a time to come in the future. And this is what they are trying to prevent. Don't want to go back. Don't want to go the way the Most High intended things to go. Okay? And so we're just going to slowly walk through this. Now, verse 4. He, Yah, sits in the heavens, shall laugh. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. Yah shall have them, the Gentile nations, in derision. Let's look at this word, this definition for derision. By implication, as in imitating a foreigner, principally. I'm going to have them speaking things and thinking things that they think are intelligent, they think are smart, but the end of the result is they are coming against him. They're using us, but the truth of the matter is they are coming against him. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, because they think that they are coming with, you know, common sense, with intelligence, with let us do this, and let us keep these people down. Let us not let them be a nation anymore. And Yah says, hey, you're actually coming against what I have said. And so he's going to speak to them in his wrath, in his anger, and vex them in his sore. He's very displeased with what they are doing. Now, they're doing what they're doing. And we are in the condition that we're in for a reason. So let's put a bookmark there, because we're going to come here. Come back here. Okay, and let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. So remember, the nations want to break our bands that were upon them in two and get loose from them. Well, how did they ever, and where did they think that we had this power over them? Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, starting in verse 1. Now, these are the promises that the Most High made to Israel as a people, and these are conditional. Conditional. Anything that has an if statement is conditional. If then, logic gate. If you do something, then I will do something. If you don't do something, then I won't do something, or I may do something that you don't like. It's conditional. Okay? And it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of Yah thy Elohim, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that Yah thy Elohim will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Now he's making this promise to Israel. I will set you on high above all nations of the earth. So I have to ask you a question. If you're not Israel, and you read this in the Bible, where the Most High has promised a group of people, has promised a nation, I'm going to set you above all other nations of the earth, all other ethnicities, because nations is really all other nations of the earth. If you're one of those nations, how would you feel about that? What? He's going to put Israel above me? What makes them so special? Why would he choose them over me? There's some animosity in that. And I know it is. So those powers to be that know who Israel is, because see, the Most High caused Israel to forget who they were, who they are as a people. But he didn't cause the nations to forget. He caused us to forget. You are my chosen ones. You are my inheritance in the earth. Forget that as a people through slavery, through being miseducated, to putting us to sleep spiritually, we forgot who we were. But the nations didn't forget. That's the people that he was going to put high above all other people. And we don't want them to be over us. Think about it. You're one of those people of the other nations, and here is the Most High saying, I'm going to place this people high above you. And you're reading this book, and you're saying that you're worshiping the Elohim, the God of this book. But he's going to put this people over us, high above us. That right there alone causes animosity in those nations. So in the Psalm 2, he tells you that why does the heathen, why do the nations rage? They rage because Elohim said that he would place us high above them. And that's why they wanted to break those bonds in two. And now the Most High continues to give us some blessings. Okay, we're going to continue. And all these blessings shall come upon you, Israel, and overtake you if, conditional, you shall hearken unto the voice of Yah your Elohim. So he says, if Yah, you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of Yah to observe all, to do all his commandments, then I will set you on high. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if you listen to my voice and do what I tell you to do. If you do this, you're above, high above all the nations. They read that. They knew who we were, even though we, over time, were caused to forget. As a whole, we were caused to forget, and we started assuming all kind of. He gave us the spirit to do what our forefathers did. We want to be just like those nations. Well, I'm going to give you their heart, and I'm going to cause you to forget who you were. And you're going to be trying to be like them. When I promised you, if you obeyed my voice, I would set you on high above all them. They know that. So they want you to fall. They wanted us to fall as a people. So they did not want to be up under us. I pray we can hear what Yah is saying. Now he continues to give the blessings to Israel. Conditionally, if you obey his voice. Obeying his voice is to what he has had written. What he comes to you in prayer with. What he reveals to you. Listen to it and do it. If you can read, then you have to be able to learn, or if you can hear and understand, you have to be able to learn to do what he says to do for these blessings to come upon us, okay? The nations don't want you to do what Yah says to do. Why? Because they don't want to be up under you. They don't want to be up under us as a people. So they definitely don't want us doing this. Verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. No matter where you're at, whether your job is in the city or whether your job is on the farm, in the field, Yah says, I will bless you. I'm going to make you above. No matter what you're doing, you're going to excel above the other nations. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep, whatever you own. If you are a farmer, then it's going to multiply greater than the nation. I'm going to bless you above everything you put your hand to. Everything you own will be blessed. Okay. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Your saving, your what you have put up. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Yah shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. So if you got an enemy, you ain't got to worry about them, or you didn't have to worry about them. Yah says, I will handle it. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. So our enemies would come against us, and the Most High says, I will scatter them seven ways before you. They're going to come at you one way and find out they're running north, south, east, and west, northeast, southeast, southwest, in all directions. They're going to scatter before you if you obey my voice, if you do what I tell you to do. Yah shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouse and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. He shall bless thee in the land which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee. Yah said that we would expand our borders beyond physical Israel. We were supposed to be in every nation. Not hear that again. We were supposed to be in every nation. Just not as slaves, if we obeyed his voice. Yah shall establish thee a holy people unto himself. This is our calling. A holy people unto him, not some other god, not some pagan god, not some god of our own mind, him. This is what we were created for. This is what he called us to be a holy people unto him. As he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of Yah thy Elohim and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of Yah, and they shall be afraid of you. Not for because of us, but because of him. I'm going to be your front runner. I'm going to go before you. I will be influencing the nation. I will be affecting the outcomes of things. You go into a situation as the underdog, you come out on top every time. Because he was going to do it for us. They come against you, I'm going to scatter them 7 ways. Okay? They hear my name, they're going to associate you with me, and they're going to be afraid of you if you obey my voice and hearken unto me. What the nations knew. This is what they know. I'm going to set you high above all the other nations. Now, if you're one of those other nations, that don't sound good to you. That doesn't sound good to you. We want to be over ourselves. We want to govern ourselves. We don't want this people right here to be over us. But they know that this is what the Most High promised Israel. His people. But the promise is conditional. With us doing what he told us to do. Obey my voice. Do my commandments. Do what I tell you to do. Okay? Verse 9 again, Yah shall see a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, and if thou shalt keep the commandments of Yah thy Elohim, and walk in his ways. Don't walk in your own ways. Don't walk in your own understanding. Walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of Yah, and they shall be afraid of you. And Yah shall make thee plenteous in good. We don't own a daggone thing as a people. We're not responsible for banking. We're not responsible for our own food. We're not responsible for anything on this planet. Somebody else controls. It says, I would make you plenteous in your goods and in the fruit of thy body and in the fruit of thy cattle and in the fruit of thy ground and in the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give you. Yah shall open unto thee his good treasure. His good treasure. The world is his. Whatever is in this world, he says, I would give it to you. You would be the possessors of it. You walking around, now we're walking around, or if we can halfway become rich, when the Most High's intention was we would always be the richest people in the world. Yah shall open up unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. We are a nation of borrowers. You got to ask yourself why. Yah said we would not be borrowers. We would be so blessed, we would be the lenders. No matter what we put our hands to, Yah would bless it. And Yah shall make thee the head. Underline that. And not the tail. Now, if Yah is saying this to Israel, what does that say to all the other nations? Y'all can fall in order however y'all want. But as far as the Most High is concerned, this people that he has selected, he will make them the head. Everybody else is the tail. You fall up under Israel. Second place is the first place to last. is not first place. So if you're the second nation, the third nation, the fourth nation, don't matter. Israel is going to be your head. And you're going to bow to Israel. And if you make Israel mad, you make the Most High mad. And if you come at Israel, then you're coming at the Most High. He said, if you obey my voice, if you do what I tell you to do, you shall lend and not borrow. I'll make sure that your crops always come up in full. I will send the rain in its due season. Because see, you can't really be an independent people if you can't feed yourself. If you got to count on somebody for your food, you in trouble. If you got to count on somebody for your money, you in trouble. Anytime you got to count on some other people to provide for you, you are not free. And yes, I'm going to make sure that you're free, and I'm going to make sure that you're high above all the other people. All you got to do is obey my commandments. Now the nations see this, and I'll make you the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only. And thou shalt not be beneath. I'm going to do this for you. If thou shalt hearken unto the commandments of Yah thy Elohim, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left. Don't go to the right or to the left of what I'm telling you. Hear and understand what I'm saying to you and do exactly what I tell you. And do it. Or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. Now, I'm going to stop right here. So this is a promise that the Most High made to Israel, his chosen people. And the world knows this. The powers to be in the world know this. They had it in their heart to come against us as a people because they don't want to be up under us. They don't want to be the tail. They want to be the head. And every nation in this world is vying to be the superpower of the world, the most prosperous nation on the planet. When the Most High already told Israel and told our forefathers, if you obey my command, you will be the most prosperous nation. You will be the superpower. And just the mention of my name will bring fear to them. Just do what I ask you to do. They knew that. They know that. Problem is, we didn't do that. We didn't do that. We didn't do what he said to do. So when we find ourselves in reverse of that, then we want to start looking at everybody else. No, we got to look in the mirror. Got to look back at our forefathers. They did. He said, don't go to the right hand or don't go to the left. Go after other gods to serve them. Just obey my commandments. Don't deviate from any of the words that I'm telling you. Now, if we believe and know that we are those people, then it makes perfect sense as to why they treat us the way that they treat us. We don't want to be beneath you. We don't want to be under you. We don't want you to be lending to us. And we got to borrow from you. We don't want you to be the superpower in the world. We want to be those things. Now, I want to look at this from the standpoint of slavery. Okay? From the standpoint of slavery. Because we as a people, we say, you know, them low-down, dirty Gentiles, they abused us in slavery. They systematically discriminate against us in the countries that we're in. Everything that they can do, they do it to hold us back. This is why. They know what the Most High has promised us. They know what he has said to us. And what he said to us is conditional on us doing what he said to do, obeying his voice, obeying his commandments. They know this. We forgot. We were caused to forget. And so we want a reason as to why everybody in the world seems to be against us. I don't care if they're Mexican. They can be dark-skinned Mexican. They still think they're better than the average or the black man or the Hebrew Israelite in this country. No matter what nation they come from, they feel like they are higher than we are. And they do not want to be underneath us. The poorest white person has been taught that you are better than the richest black man. Why? Because under no circumstance do we want you to have this mentality that you are underneath this people. If they ever find out who they are, if they ever start doing what the Most High commanded them to do, we are in trouble. Because he will put them back in the place that he has promised them. But as long as they don't do what he has commanded them to do, they will be up underneath us. And so we're going to do everything in our power to keep them down. Now, little do they know, as long as we are disobedient, the Most High is going to do that. They ain't got to do it, but they took it upon themselves to do it. That's what they're in a rage about. He chose them over us. They're in a rage about that. So, for their own people, when one of their own people would commit a crime, they had bond servitude for them. They had debt, what they call debt prison. Debtor's prison. Or if they committed a crime, they had a prison. And they were more or less stripped of their rights, and they became prisoners of the state. But that was for a time period. Oh, you got 5 years. You got 15 years. Oh, for what you did, you get 20 years. But after that time, they could come out of that. But when it came to us as a people, they didn't want to apply those same rules to us. Why? Go to Leviticus chapter 25. We'll come back to these. I don't know how much I'm going to get to cover today, but I want to get the overall gist. Leviticus chapter 25. Now, chapter 25, Leviticus chapter 25, in just a second. Let's read this, okay, because we have to do, okay? And we want to look at this because he also covers some do's and don'ts that he wants us as a people to keep. Okay, he already said, obey my commands and do them. If you do this, I will set you high above all other people. Okay, and Yah spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you. Then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto Yah. Now, it's a Sabbath to the land, a rest to the land. He already gave the people a Sabbath. Every Friday evening to Saturday evening is your Sabbath. Keep it, but also for the land every 6 years. Here, you're going to let the land rest, okay, just like I command you. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto Yah. 6 years shalt thou sow thy field, and 6 years shalt thou prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. So work the land 6 years. Like I told you, you can work your job 6 days. You can work the land 6 years. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for Yah. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. You're not going to work in it. That which grows of its own accord by thy harvest, thou shalt not reap. So in the seventh year, you had some plants planted there last year. It rained. You know, some of those seeds fell on the ground. When you harvested, some seeds fell on the ground. Yah says, you're not going to harvest them. You're not going to prune. Whatever grows up, you're not going to reap it. You're not going to go gather that. Neither to gather the grapes of thy vine undressed. For it is a year of rest unto the land. You take a year off of the bounty that I gave you, the stores that I gave you. I'm going to bless you abundantly in the sixth year. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you. For thee and for thy servant, and for all thy maids, and for thy hired servants, and for the stranger that sojourns with you, for the cattle and for the beasts that are in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be meat, the increase of the land that he gave in the previous year. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee. So just like you have the Jubilee, or we have Pentecost, 7 Sabbaths of Sabbath. Now he says 7 Sabbath of years. So 49 years. 7 times 7 years. And the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then thou shalt cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound. And on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of atonement, shall you make this trumpet sound throughout your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year. You're going to make the 50th year holy, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. What is he saying? In the 50th year in the Jubilee, if you were a slave, a Hebrew slave, you were let go free. If you sold your land to one of your Hebrew brothers or sisters, they had to give it back to you. This is the Jubilee, okay? So that you never lost your inheritance. It was given back to you. Verse 10, Leviticus 25 and 10. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession. And you shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. And you shall not sow. So in the 50th year, so every 7th year, you didn't sow. And in the 50th year, the Jubilee, you didn't sow. You didn't work the land. You shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of the vine undressed. For it is the Jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. You shall eat of the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of the Jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. So if you sold your home in the 50th year, it came back to you. If you sold your land in the 50th year, it came back to you. And if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. So don't be trying to get over on your brother or your sister. According to the number of years after the Jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor. and according unto the number of years of the fruit he shall sell unto thee. So, in other words, if you sold your land in the first year after the Jubilee, your land was not yours for another 49 years. But in the 50th year, it had to return to you. If you sold your land in the 48th year, then it only had 2 years of work left on it as far as what that person could get out of that land. So that's what they would sell it to you for. Oh, there's 2 years left on this land. I can get this much. So this is what I'm going to sell it to you for. And this is what I'm going to, you know, and this is what you're going to be forgiven. Okay? And according unto the number of years of fruit, he shall sell it unto thee. According to the multitude of years, thou shalt increase the price thereof. So the more years that are left until the Jubilee, the higher the price of the land. Because in the Jubilee, they had to be given back. So if it was the 49th year and somebody sold you their land, then it would only cost the price, they could only get 1 year's price for it. Because in the 50th year, either they were going to pay it back or it was going to be forgiven them and given back to them. Okay? Understand this. And according to the fewness of the years, thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the number of years of the fruit does he sell it unto you. How many years of fruit can you get out of this land? How many years of productivity? The fewer of years productivity until the Jubilee, the price of the land went down. The greater the years of the number of years to the Jubilee, the cost of the land went up. Okay? You shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy Elohim. For I am Yah thy Elohim. So don't break this rule. Don't try to get over. If you know it's only 1 year to the Jubilee, don't be trying to sell your land for 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 years of fruit that it can produce when you know that this person, by the law, would have to give this land back to you, and they would be at a loss if they sold it to you for, bought it from you for 7 years, and the Jubilee comes, hey, it's a Jubilee, give me back my land. I only got to use it 1 year. So the law says you got to give it back to me. He says, don't do that. Don't defraud one another. Don't oppress one another. Keep this rule. Where you shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. You shall dwell in the land in safety. So we got to come and be dealing with each other, not in false pretense, not trying to get over on each other. Whatever the value is, that is the value that you shall sell it for according to the standard. And the land shall yield her fruit, and you shall eat your fill, and dwell therein in safety. And if you shall say, what shall we eat the seventh year? Because you ain't supposed to sow nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year. And it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. So if you obey my voice, you're not going to sow the land or reap from it in the seventh year. And then you say, well, what are we going to eat? If we can't reap from the land and we can't farm it, we can't harvest from it, God says that in the sixth year, I'm going to give you enough for 3 years. And you shall sow the eighth year and eat of the old fruit until the ninth year. Because it's going to take a year for that. If you sow in the eighth year, it takes a year to bring in that harvest. Because you're going to eat of the old fruit until the ninth year. So in the eighth, harvest in the ninth. Until her fruits come in, you shall eat of the old store. I'm going to give you enough to survive for the sixth year, the seventh year, and the eighth year. I'm going to give you enough for 3 years. If you obey my voice, store it up. The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. For you are strangers. Now hear this, Israel, because the Most High never gave the land to Israel, the people. He The land shall not be sold forever. Why? For the land is mine. For you are strangers and sojourners. You are strangers, Israel, and visitors with me, my land. You just living on it because I'm allowing you to. You are a visitor here. You are a stranger here. And if you don't do what I say do, I will kick you off my land. Because, you know, when our people talk about the land, we talk as though we own the land. God says, uh-uh. You don't own the land. You are users of the land. And you're going to use it the way that I told you to use it. You're going to sow on it for 6 years and harvest off of it for 6 years. And in the seventh year, you're going to let the land rest. In the sixth year, I'm going to give you enough produce, enough increase. So you're going to let the land, you're going to eat off it the sixth year. The seventh year, you're going to let it rest. The eighth year, you're going to sow again. There's nothing on the land. So you got to go out and farm the land in the eighth year. And then the ninth year, you're going to eat from it again. I'm going to make sure that you can do that because I'm going to give you enough for 3 years. All you got to do is obey my voice. Do what I say do. And you shall not sell the land forever. Anything that we claim for the Most High, we're not ever supposed to sell it. I don't care what land we are in, what nation we are in. Because when we buy it like that, it becomes holy unto him. And we're supposed to treat it just like he's saying here. So on it for 6 years, let it rest for the seventh year, and Yah will give us the increase for 3 years. If we obey his voice. Okay? And remember that the land is not ours. Not the land of Israel and not any land that we claim for him. We buy it with the intention that it belongs to him. We have to set up the contracts and everything so that it stays in his possession. It cannot be sold ever. That's so that if something happens, we can return to it as long as we're doing it. If we get kicked off, the nations come against it, Yah says he would fight for it. Okay. In all the land of your possessions, you shall grant a redemption for the land. A redemption for the land. Yah gave you 20 acres to one of your Hebrew brothers and sisters in the time of Jubilee. It's redeemed. It goes back to you. Whether you paid it off or not, it goes back to you. If thy brother be waxen poor, if your brother becomes poor and has sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. So your kinsman is not supposed to go out of the family. Your kinsman could come and redeem it. And if the man have none to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of the sale thereof. I sold you this land. It had 10 good years in it. If I want to buy it back, if I want to redeem it, then I got to buy it back from you for 10 years and charge interest on it. And restore the overplus unto the man to whom it sold it, that he may return unto his possession. So you sell it back to him so he can return to his what? Possession. But if he be not able to restore it to him, then that which is sold shall remain in the hand of him that has bought it until the year of Jubilee. So you sold the land for 10 years. You can't redeem it in 10 years. It remains that person's. Let's say, okay, let me give this example. You sold the land for 10 years. In year number two, after you sold it, you get the money to redeem it. He says, then you redeem it in return to your possession. But if you're not, and you buy it back for 8 years, okay? if you are not able to redeem it, then it remains in that person's possession, in their hand, until the Jubilee, the 50th year. Now, if the Jubilee is 49 years away and you sold it for 10 years, and in the 10th year you're not able to redeem it, that means there's another 39 years that land don't belong to you. It belongs to the person you sold it to until the Jubilee. Then that land comes back into the family. Okay? In the Jubilee, it shall go out and it shall return unto his possession. Return to his family. And if a man sell a dwelling house in a walled city, then he may redeem it within the whole year after it is sold. Within a full year, he may redeem it. Now, this is land that's in a city. Different rules. And if it be not redeemed within the space of a full year, then the house that is in the walled city shall be established forever to him that bought it throughout his generation. It shall not go out in the Jubilee. So if you had a farm, your land comes back to you. If you bought a house in the city and you couldn't redeem it within a year, then that house remained, whoever bought it, forever. You lost your possession. But the house of the villages, which have no wall round about them, shall be counted as the fields of the country. They may be redeemed, and they shall go out in the Jubilee. So you buy some land, you farm it, you put a house on it, you sell it to your brother. You can't get it back. In the year of the Jubilee, it comes back to you. If it's in a walled city, then you don't get it back if you don't redeem it within the year. Notwithstanding, the cities of the Levites and the houses of the cities of their possession may the Levites redeem at any time. Now, the Levites were allowed to buy houses to live in the cities where they were at, in those tribes. The Levites didn't have land that belonged to them, that was assigned to them. But they could buy houses in land, and they could, if they sold that land of that house that they bought, they could redeem it, okay, at any time. And if a man purchased of the Levite, so you buy it from a priest, then the house that was sold in the city of his possession shall go out in the year of the Jubilee. For the houses of the cities of the Levites are their possession among the children of Israel. So whatever the Most High blessed the Levites with, whether it was in the field or whether it was in the city, if the Levite sold his land, his house in the city, it came back to him in the Jubilee. But the field of the suburbs of the city may not be sold, for it is their perpetual possession. So if there is a suburb in a city and a Levite owns property in that suburb, it could not be sold. Okay. And if thy brother be waxen poor, if your brother became poor and fall into decay with you, then thou shalt relieve him, yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with you. So if you both become poor, then you both relieve each other. Take thou no usury, no tax, no interest of him or increase. Because, you know, the banks today and anybody loaning money, they want to charge you usury or what they call interest. Because if it's your brother, your Hebrew brother or sister, you shall take no usury, no interest. You won't charge them an increase on it. So you borrowed 100, you owe me 150. And don't do it. It's illegal for you to charge usury or interest when you loan to your brother or your sister. But fear Yah thy Elohim, that thy brother may live with thee. They're already in a hard spot, and you're trying to get over on them or get gain from them when they're already down. He says, don't do it. Because if they didn't need to borrow, surely they wouldn't be borrowing. So if they're down, don't charge them interest. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, upon interest, nor lend him thy victual for increase, your food for increase. Hey, I gave you a loaf of bread, I want two back. Just don't do it. Can't treat your brother that way. Now, we're going to see that there's a difference here. These are rules that apply to our own people. This is how we're supposed to conduct business amongst ourselves. I am Yah your Elohim, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your Elohim. And if thy brother that dwells by thee be waxen poor, become poor, and be sold unto you, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bondservant. What does that mean? Don't compel him to serve you as a slave, but as a hired servant. So he sold to you for however much. That's going to take so much time to pay off. He says, you treat him like a hired servant. Here's wages. You going to come work for me? Here are your wages. Can't treat him like a slave and get free labor out of him. And as a sojourner, because a sojourner was a visitor. So let's say you have somebody from another nation that moved into Israel. They didn't want to become part of Israel, but they moved there. They wanted to live there. He says, you hire them as a hired servant. So they're not your, this person that moved here from another nation is not your servant. Not yet. You're going to pay them wages. So they come and say, hey, I'm a tent maker. Well, how much you charge for tents? But this is what I charge. I'm going to hire you out, but I'm going to pay you to make me a tent. But just like any other merchant, your brother is sold to you. You can't treat him like a slave. You got to treat him like he's this merchant, like he's this business owner, like he is a hired hand. Pay him wages. He's going to work for you, but you're still going to pay him wages. A hired servant, and as a sojourner, he shall be with thee, and shall serve you unto the year of Jubilee. Whatever the year of Jubilee is. So if he came to you, he got sold to you in the first year of the 50, he had to serve you for 49 years, unless you let him go earlier. But you didn't treat him like a slave. You paid him wages, gave him a place to stay. He lived on your land or lived in a house you bought or whatever. And you treated him like a hired servant. But he had to serve you, had to work for you for 49 years. And when the Jubilee came, then he could be set free. If he was sold to you in the 49th year, and there was only 1 year left to the Jubilee, then he worked for you for 1 year. You paid his wages, and in the 50th year, you had to let him go. Unless he wanted to stay, then there's another law for that. And then shall he depart from thee, both he and his children with him, family. Now see, the man was sold into servitude, but the wife and children came with him. But you didn't treat them like slaves, you treated them as hired hands, as wage workers, okay? And in the Jubilee, then him and his family returned to their family, returned to their house. Because if they had a house, they had land as part of the children of Israel, their land was given back to them. Unless they had a house in the city, then that didn't go back to them. For they are my servants. Now, this is what we got to understand. Our brothers and sisters that are Hebrew Israelites, Most High says, these are my servants. You don't own anything that belongs to me. Not even, it's illegal for even the nation to own a Hebrew slave. We're going to read this. For they are my servants out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as bondmen, as slaves. thou shalt not rule over him, your Hebrew brother and sister, with rigor. That means roughly. Treat them badly. But shall fear thy Elohim. So you're going to do right by him because you fear what God will do to you. You treat him badly, the Most High may make you poor, and now you in his position. Oh, you want to be that way? Let me take all you got from you and see how you like it. So you're going to fear me. Both thy bondman and thy bondmaid thou shalt have. So be up now. Hear this, because this is what the nations know. Remember what you just read about your Hebrew brother and sister. Okay? And we read that the heathen rages because the Most High said, I will make you high above all people. They don't want that. Now, that if you got sold a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, that they weren't to be treated as bond servants, as slaves, but they were to be treated and paid a wage like a hired hand. But now let's see what he says about the nation, okay? It says heathen here, but when we looked at that word heathen, it really meant Gentile, the nation, okay? Both thy bondmaidens, men and thy bondmaidens, which thou shalt have, shall be of the heathen, of the nations that are round about you. Of them you may buy bondmen and bondmaidens. You can buy them as slaves if they were not Hebrews. Now the nations know this, and we're talking about why do the heathen rage? Why did they treat us the way that they treat us? Now we're going to get into the crux of the matter. Okay? This is the crux of the matter. And I want us to catch this. Of the heathen, of the nations that are round about you, of them you shall buy bondmen and bondmaidens, slaves. Moreover, of the children of the strangers that do sojourn among you, those that are living among you, of them shall you buy, and of their families that are with you, which they begat in your land, they shall be your possession. Hear that. The nations that are round about you, you can buy them as slaves, and they shall be your possession. That's different than a hired hand. Verse 46. And you shall take them as an inheritance for your children after you. In other words, you bought one of the Gentiles that lived among you or around you, of the nations around you, and they were your possession, and you could pass them along to your children as an inheritance. Sound familiar? Just asking you if it sounds familiar. Because this is why they did to our people what they did. This is how further proof that we are the people of the book. Because what the Most High told us to do to them, they did not want to be up under us. And they made sure that what the Most High said for us to do to them, they did to us. They shall be your bondmen forever. So the nations in this world, those that practice chattel slavery of our people, made it where we were bondmen and bondwomen forever. Lifetime passed from generation to generation. But over your brethren, the children of Israel, you should not rule one over another with rigor. So you had a slave. He's not telling you to be rough with the slave or to mistreat them. Not saying that. He says, but They are a slave. So whatever you tell them to do, they have to do it and don't have to be paid for it. They are your possession. They live in your house. They do what you say do. You have complete control over them. You don't have to pay them any wages. That's why they don't want to give us reparations. If I wasn't required to pay you wages, how are you going to count reparations? That's a problem. We want to say, well, we did all this work and you got rich off our back. Well, they did to us what the Most High said we were to do to them. And they were able to do to them because we did not obey his commandments. We put ourselves in that situation. We're going to go back and read this. I'm going to flip the script on you if you don't obey me. We find the script flipped on us, and they want to point at them. Okay? You shall take them as inheritance for your children after you to inherit them for a possession. They shall be your bondmen forever. But over the children, your brethren, the children of Israel, you shall not rule one over another with rigor. And if a sojourner or a stranger becomes rich by you, and thy brother that dwells by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, to the stock of the stranger's family, if your brother sells himself to one of these Gentile nations, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Now, he didn't tell the strangers they could redeem their brethren. But if your brethren, a Hebrew man or woman, were sold to a stranger, then you could redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is near kin unto him of his family may redeem him. And if he be able, he may redeem himself. They didn't want us to redeem ourselves. And they didn't allow it. Just like the scripture said, hey, they couldn't be redeemed. They could be passed on from generation to generation. He'll reckon with him that bought him from the year that he was sold to him unto the year of the Jubilee. So if the stranger bought you, your near kinsman could come and redeem you according to the same law, the year of the Jubilee. How much they had to pay. If it was 49 years left, they had to pay 49 years value. If it was 1 year left to the Jubilee, they're in your land, then they could own you for 1 year. And the price of his sale shall be according unto the number of the year. According to the time of the hired servant shall he be with him. The hired servant, because even that Gentile wasn't supposed to treat you, a Hebrew, as a slave. He also was required to treat you as a hired servant, pay you wages. He bought you, but you weren't his possession. But you were obligated to work for him until the Jubilee or until somebody came and redeemed you. If there be yet many years behind, according to unto them that be unto them, he shall give again the price of his redemption out of the money that he was bought for. And if there remain but few years unto the year of Jubilee, then he shall count with him according to unto his years, shall he give him again the price of his redemption. So the same thing I just said to you. If there was a few years, you paid for a few years. If there was many, then you paid the price that you were sold for, or were redeemed for the price that you were sold for. And as a yearly hired servant shall he be with them. As a yearly hired servant, should the Hebrew brother or sister be with the Gentile, not a slave. And the other shall not rule with vigor over him, with rigor over him, in your sight. So if you see one of your Hebrew brothers or sisters who is a bond servant, who is a hireling, they have sold themselves to this person, then you are not supposed to allow them to rule over him with rigor. And if he be not redeemed in these years, then he shall be out in the year of Jubilee. The stranger can own him forever, and his children with him. For unto me the children of Israel are servants. Unto Yah, the children of Israel are servants, and they are my servants, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am Yah, your Elohim. So why does the heathen rage? The same rules that the Most High apply to us, for them, they apply to us, but they didn't treat us as hired servants. They treated us like we were to treat them. You are my bond servant forever. But the Most High says, no, if they buy you, then they have to treat you like a hired servant, just like your brother does. And you are not supposed to allow them to rule. If you can see it, you're not supposed to allow them to rule your brother with rigor, roughly. Don't let them treat him like or her like a slave. This is why the heathen rages. Wait a minute. They can have us as a possession forever. They can pass us to their children, and we can't do that to them. They're mad as hell. So we're not going to live by it. We're going to do the same thing to you that your God said for you to do to us. And we're not going to obey his law concerning how we're supposed to treat you. We're going to treat you according to how you were told to treat us. And we know your God is God. But we ain't obeying that. And if any kind of way we can keep you down, and we can keep you from knowing who you are, we're going to do it. We're going to teach you evil ways. You already want to be like us. You have always wanted to be like us, the Gentiles. That's always been Israel's problem. So we're going to help you in that way. But every other way, anything that's going to help you get up on your feet, anything that's going to help you return to the Most High, we ain't helping you with that. Matter of fact, we taking it for ourselves and telling you that you ain't them. But the signs show that we are them. We are the only people in the world that the nations treat this way. Globally, we're the only people that they tried to put into perpetual slavery. Why? Because our law said that they could be perpetual slaves to us, and that they could be passed from generation to generation. So you lose your headship. Oh, you lost favor with the Most High? We don't have to fear him on your account because you didn't obey him, and we know you didn't obey him, because if you obeyed him, you would be far above us. You would have favor with him, and you would not be trying to lend from us borrow from us. The better word. You wouldn't be trying to do these things. So we have gotten the upper hand on you. And we do not want to let go, because we do not want to go back under you. We don't want to be in your bond. We don't want to be in slavery to you. Because the Most High God has said that you could have us for a slave forever. And that we could not have you as a slave forever. If we bought you in the Jubilee, we had to abide by your law and let you go. If you couldn't be redeemed, if you couldn't redeem yourself, in the Jubilee, we had to abide by the laws of the Most High and let you go. And we could never treat you and work you for free. We had to pay you wages. And so we hired you. We don't want that. We're going to conspire together to make sure and set our laws in place to make sure you don't never get above us. Why? Because that's what your law said about us. They claim to say to worship the same. That's how you know they do not worship the same Elohim. They do not worship the same God we worship. They only say they do. They don't obey him. That's why they say they are not up under his law. But in order to get us to follow them, they claim him as their God. And then we blame them for everything that we're going through. Most of us says, no. I told you if you obeyed my voice, I would set you high above. If you obeyed my voice, I would bless you in everything that you do. But if you don't, then we know, we can go read the rest of those verses. So I'm going to flip the script on you. Everything I told you, I would bless you. Now I would curse you in those things. And we find ourselves in that position today. Still in that position today. We're wondering why these government agencies are against us. We wonder why, you know, when we serve with them, whether it's in the military or in a corporate environment, they think that they're better than us. They systematically discriminate against us. Won't pay us the same wages, even though we're supposed to be free. No, you're not equal. We're not letting you get above us. That's why the heathen rage. Go back to Psalm chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 1 again. We're going to read all the way through. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. Now he's saying that their actions are vain. They think they're getting away with something, but they're not. You think you could hold my people as slaves and there's not going to be any consequence when I told you you could not be their slave? They could not be your slave? You think you're going to get away with that? You're not. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Yah. They think it's against us and that Yah is not going to hold them accountable, but he is. And against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands into asunder and cast away their cords from us. Those cords were the laws that the Most High gave us that allowed us to possess them as slaves perpetually, but they could not possess us as slaves perpetually. We want to break these cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Most High shall laugh. Yah shall have them in derision, in delusion. They think what they're doing is smart, but it's not smart. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, in his anger, and vex them in his sore displeasure. This is coming. Yet have I sent my king upon my holy hill Zion. I will declare the decree. Yah has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Now this is speaking of Messiah, and in the end Messiah is going to rule everybody. But they don't really want us to rule over them, but the one that they don't want to rule over them looks like us. They made him look like them, but he looks like us. He is us. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen. Ask of me, and I will give thee the nations for thine inheritance. Psalm chapter 2, verse 8. And the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. The uttermost parts of the earth. Ask me, and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. It's not just going to be the land of Israel. We were never intended to just be in the land of Israel. We were intended to be a global nation. ruling the nations from within the nation with a rod of iron. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. That means to rule them strictly by the laws of the Most High. Thou shalt dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Break them of their wickedness. We couldn't do it because we were being wicked. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Now, this is to them. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve Yah with fear and rejoice with trembling. This trembling is with terror. Be afraid that you are going to disobey him. He's talking to the kings of the earth. Wait a minute, you think you can possess my people as chattel slaves when I told you it was against my laws to do so? You want to imagine a vain thing? We'll possess them, and we will make them not a nation, and we will be above them, and they will not be above us. That's what the heathen is saying. That's what he's raging. We ain't going to be below them. We need to break these bonds asunder. We need to cut loose these ropes. We don't want to be up under that law. The Most High is telling the nation, serve Yah with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, Messiah, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, you make him a little pissed off. When he comes to set up the nation, set up his kingdom, he's going to rule the world with a rod of iron, strictly according to the laws of the Most High. Anybody that rules with him has to rule the same way. Can't have your own standard. But most, I don't think that's fair. I didn't ask you what you thought. I said, this is my judgment. Now do it. If the law calls for their death, kill them. If it calls for their hand, take it. Rule them with a rod of iron. Drive that foolishness out of them. Got to first drive it out of ourselves. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So of us and of them, the nation, if they put their trust in the Most High, then the Most High says, you're going to follow my laws, my commandments, according as I have given them to you as a people. You can't possess my people, my servants, as your slaves. They are my servants. They belong to me. You don't possess anything that is mine as yours. And anything that is mine can possess anything that I own, and I own everything as theirs. That is the concept. So we got all these nations that held the people of the Most High as slaves, thought they were being smart. We'll make it to where they ain't a nation. We'll make it to where they can't be above us. We'll make it to where they will always be below us. We don't care how we have to do it. If we got to discriminate, if we got to kill them, if we got to cheat them, if we got to think of them as being less than people, it don't matter. Whatever we got to do to justify not letting them be above us, that's what we will do. And if we don't openly do it, we will secretly do it. Why? Because we don't want them to be above us. That's what this whole thing is about. We don't want them to be above us. Now let me get a couple of verses in Amos or Isaiah. Give me a hot second to find it. And I apologize. I should have looked this up earlier. chapter 9. Go to the book of Amos, chapter 9. And I want everybody to hear this, okay? Both Jew and Gentile. Amos chapter 9, verse 11. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. I'm going to rebuild Israel. I'm going to rebuild Jerusalem, that they may possess is to own, the remnant of Edom, and all of the nations, the heathens that are called by my name. Why does everybody have to be baptized in the name of Messiah? Everybody in the kingdom must be saved. And those people who are not saved that end up in the lake for disobedience, whether Jew or Gentile, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, because what Edom did to Israel, and all the heathen, the nations, which are called by my name, saith Yah, that doeth it. So all those people, those nations that held us as bondservants, as slaves, the Most High says they would become our slaves. We won't be able to treat them the way that they treated us, because the Most High says that we have to be a just people. We have to be a righteous people. But they will be a possession. Why? Because they took the possession of the Most High and made it theirs. When the Most High says it was against his law for them to do so. His law. That's why they don't want to keep the law. We don't want to be up under those laws. Yeah, we want Jesus Christ or Yeshua HaMashiach to be our Savior. We want to be saved from our sins, but we do not want to be up under any of those laws. We do not want the people of the Most High to be over us. And so we're going to do whatever it takes to keep them underneath us. Why the nations are mad. That's why they rage. That's why they treat us the way that they do. And he says, to be in my kingdom, you got to be saved, even if you are a servant. So all of Edom and all of the heathen that are called by my name, saith Yah, shall be your possession. They're going to come, they're going to get a possession among you in your land. But even among the nations, they're going to belong to you. All those that took you as slaves, all those that broke my law concerning my possession, concerning my servant, I sent them among you to punish them. But I never told you to do what you did. And he's talking to the nations. I never told you to take my people as bond servants. You could own them, and you could own them as far as you had to treat them like a hired hand. You had to pay them wages. You had to treat them fairly. But you treated them with rigor. You treated them roughly. You raped their women. You used their babies as gator baits. You killed the men unjustly. You paid them unfair wages. And when you did pay them, you discriminated and made sure that they could not ever get up above you, not even be considered to be equal with you, when I have already told you they are high above you. And I will put them in that place again. Now, what do we have to do, Israel? Keep his commandments. Do what he said to do. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Just do it. And he will reverse it. But we're too busy trying to solve the problem our way. We too busy looking to the neighbor for reparations, and we need for you to redeem us. We need for you to pay us for what we did for you during the time you had us captive. Did they have been paying us? Yeah. But they said, we're gonna treat y'all like y'all, your guys, because you could treat us. When they know good and well that the Elohim of the Bible said, no, you can't treat my people that way. Well, we're going to claim to be the people. And as long as they don't know, as long as we can keep them ignorant of that, then we can do what we will with them until Messiah comes. Most of them are ignorant of this. But the powers to be ain't no. The ones that are controlling everyday life, who are making the laws, who are controlling the market, who determine what price you're going to pay for whatever, who are in charge in the businesses, the big corporations, they know. The government knows. The average everyday Gentile does not know. They're just taught to have a mentality, no matter how poor you are, you're better than they are. You don't ever want them to be above you. They don't know why. They just know that they're taught. Don't ever let that happen. I don't care how rich they get, how much education they get, how much power they get, you're still better than they are. That's their mentality. But the Most High has said something different. And if we as a people can hear this and understand it, the solution has already been given to us. Obey his commandments. Period. That is the solution for us. Stop guessing. Stop trying to figure it out. Because this was done by me, but they took it further than I told them to take it. And I will hold them accountable. You ain't got to try to hold them accountable. I will hold them accountable. There's another verse in Isaiah. I will bring it up at the next meeting. We are at the top of the hour. But I pray that something was said to somebody, that you understand that this is why the nations are mad at us. This is why they never want us to be get up high. This is why they have conspired together to break the bonds asunder and to not want us to know who we are as a people. Surely if we know who we are as a people and if we can read the scripture, we will do what the Most High said to do. Sadly, most not. Sadly, most will not wake up and continue to wonder, why are we going through what we're going through? And the truth of the matter is, it will not change until Messiah returns. That doesn't stop us from doing what the Most High said to do. Obey his voice. Because we're in the land of our enemy and because we are up under these curses like this, all the more to do what he said to do. But you realize that, hey, because our forefathers were disobedient, they didn't obey the commandments of the Most High. Thus, here we go. This is why we're here. This is why they have power over us as a people, because we didn't do what we were told to do. I think tomorrow morning we will cover the rest of Deuteronomy chapter 28. So we can see it is all written, and it's very simple. And we're trying to figure out why. You don't have to figure it out. Most of us already said it. All we got to do is know who we are and believe it. Do what he says to do, problem solved. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Remember, saints, fear Yah and keep his covenant. commandments. For this is the whole duty of man and Israel. But of man, if you say you're a Hebrew Israelite, you understand that we are the people of the book, that these curses fit us perfectly and no other people on the earth, then now you know why we're in the condition that we're in. And he tells us, this is your fix. Repent. If my people, which are called by my name, so humble themselves, and hear, then will I hear from heaven, and shall hear their language. We have to do what he says to do, thanks. So with this, and then we're out for this evening.
How to reach my family, how to reach the sea, yes I am. Open up the scriptures, prophecy is written freely, giving children read. 28 Deuteronomy's 15 from 68 proclaim. If we disobey, broke the covenant, that we would bear the shame. 400 years in a land that is not ours. 400 years against our enemy and having no power. 400 years of oppression bound in chains. 400 years of disobedience. We bear the shame, we bear the shame.
Israel been asleep for so long. We can't tell which way we going, right or wrong. Pouring to the sun, got in the churches on the first day.
Sunday.
Calling on Jesus who threw the law away. This led to 400 years of oppression and depression. Should we by now have learned our lesson? Shackles are off, but our minds in a deceptive state. What do you think is gonna be our end state? The lake?
How to reach my family? How to reach the seed of Israel? Open up the scriptures, prophecy is written freely, giving children read. 28 Deuteronomy 15, 68 proclaim. If we disobey, the rope of covenant, that we would bear the shame. 400 years in a land that is not ours. 400 years of fighting and having no power. 400 years of oppression bound in chains. 400 years of disobeying, we lost his name. 400 years, we've been the tail and not the head, the scripture says. 400 years in a land that is not ours. 400 years against our union. 400 years of oppression bound in chains. 400 years of disobeying.
We blind up in Babylon, haters getting whipped on. Still practice voodoo while we sing that Obama song. Before we arrive to the kingdom, must come out of her. Spiritually and physically, wean ourselves from her. We must believe in God and accept no trash from her. Victory Babylon, the wickedness she be on. Man, our people minds gone, suicidal brains blown. However, Yah is in control, we must stay whole and be strong. And join the fold, this is not a show. Bump this in your whip, turn off the radio.
Drawing up to the time. Drawing up to the time. 400 years.
Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. You created the world and the universe, and everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a bus. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign.
Enjoy the rest of your evening. Hold on a minute. Got to turn on my speaker. I can't hear you.
Shalom.
All right, shalom. And shalom, Sister Mary.
Shalom, Sister Brother Miles.
All right, shalom, my sisters. Peace and blessings to everybody.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath. See you guys tomorrow morning.
Yes, sir.